Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you're so present here in the Eucharist. We come before you as your brothers, as your sons, as your priests, asking you to lead us and guide us in your will, and you would grant us peace. We beg you these things, Jesus, in your most holy name. Amen. Mary, Mother of Jesus, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, now this talk is one of the easier talks anyway. I wrote a whole book on this one. But the priest is an icon of peace. Huh? And about we need to have peace and be peace, people who bring peace. And that's always, a little bit different than what some people expect, because a lot of times, like when I'm speaking, the last thing I do is people are like, I don't have any peace after you, Father. Oh, you will. But we stir a person up. You know, like when I do a parish mission, I always promise everybody there, I say, I promise you. And I do this altogether different with priests, because I purposely try not to do this with priests, but with a parish mission, I say, I will make every one of you mad at me at least once during these 4 days. Some of you will be mad at me at least once a night, huh? Because my purpose always is that even if they get mad at me and they're laying in bed at night and praying for my death, that they're sitting there and they're at least thinking about what I said. And so I like to just to plant seeds. And so sometimes I do it in a way that'll agitate people so that it sticks in them for a while so they remember. Because think about how many priest retreats you've been on and how many, if I say, remember anything that any priest said to you throughout the years? No, it doesn't mean you weren't being fed. It just means it wasn't one of those lasting things. Maybe so, maybe not. So my purpose is always to hit you with some stuff that stretches you a little bit. Might, you know, I know when you're sitting there going, I don't think I agree with you at all. Eh, so you don't have to agree with me. But you at least have to, where's God calling you to when I'm speaking about this stuff? So when we talk now about the priest as an icon of peace, you know, that's the gift of Christ to us. It isn't something we strive for, we try to get. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 27, I think? Yeah, it says, peace is my farewell gift to you. My peace is my gift to you. I do not give you peace as the world gives peace. So do not be afraid or distressed. So part of what it is that so often people are focusing on, you know, holding on to their will. And when we hold on to our will, we will always be afraid, by definition. When you and I hold on to our will, we'll always be afraid. And what we need to do is, that's why I wrote my book called Surrender. And when I wrote when I said, okay, this is what I want to call it, they says, you know, I don't think that's a good word, Larry, to use for your book. I says, yeah, that's exactly what I want. Because why? And I start off saying, surrender. Don't you just hate that word, huh? Because for us, it shows if I surrender that I'm giving up, if you will. Okay, I surrender. But that's not what we're talking about at all. Surrender is when you're madly in love with somebody and you become, if you will, their slave. Huh? If you're madly in love and you get married, which is none of us, of course, but when we're madly in love with somebody, we say we want to go out of our way to make sure that we're pleasing them. We go out of our way to make sure that if they have a need, oh, sweetheart, do you need anything? If we're madly in love, we surrender our lives to our wives. For us, when we're madly in love with Jesus, we surrender our lives to Jesus. I love St. Paul in the book of Romans, the opening line of the book of Romans, and a couple other of the books. But Paul says, Paul, comma, a slave of Jesus Christ. How many of us could introduce ourselves that way? Hi, I'm Father Larry. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. And mean it. Is that who we are? Do we exist every day to do the will of our Father? Are we people that gladly do that? Or do we still think that, you know, if God would only see things my way, things would be so much better. Talk about a God complex. Oh, God, these are, you know, why do you let this happen? Why'd you let this happen? Why, God? You know, just see things my way, God. But the whole point of our life is Jesus and Mary give us the greatest example of that, huh? You know, often you might hear, like Islam means surrender by definition, right? You know, Islam, and they go, if God wills it, he wills it. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking, first of all, about the surrender of Mary. That when she's confronted with the will of the Father, she just doesn't say, okay, yeah, if you want me to do this, this is what I'll do. Oh, another thing you're asking me to do. Her fiat, her let it be done to me, is an aggressive, if you will, seeking God's will more than seeking your next breath. Huh? Remember, I'm sure you heard the story about I was making an old Monsignor, but it wasn't that. It was an Indian, but there's an old Monsignor in my diocese. He was a great, great man. He was 92 years old when he died, and he was killed. He was going down to, every year he'd go down and work with the poor in Mexico. And he was walking along one day, 92 years old, and a cab driver came up and killed him on the sidewalk and drove away. And so I thought, what a great way to die, if 92 doing God's will somewhere instead of sitting in a nursing home somewhere. But that's how he died. And he used to sit there. And so I always use him as the example. But, you know, a kid came to him once in high school and he says, and I'm lying, of course, comes up to him and says, Monsignor, I want to know God. He says, you really want to know God? Yeah, I really want to know God. Well, come with me. And he comes and he puts him in a car. And we have 15 miles of beaches, you know, in Erie, PA, the peninsula. And so he takes him out the peninsula and he starts walking out into the beach and the kid says, where are you going? He says, oh, you want to know God? Yeah, I want to come with me. So he goes out with him, and Monsignor starts walking out into the lake. And he says, come out with me. And he goes, you want to know God, right? Yeah, I want to know God. Well, come out with me. So he went out in the middle of the lake, and the water's about here. Monsignor said, come here. And the guy came over, and he took him and plunged his head underneath the water. And he's holding him there. He was a strong Monsignor in his 90s. And as he's holding him under there, the kid's hands are going crazy, da-da-da, you know, and he's trying to get up, but he holds him there 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Right before the kid was ready to pass out, he brings him up. And the kid says, what's the matter with you? Are you nuts? Are you nuts? Are you trying to kill me? And the Monsignor looked at him and says, what did you want more than anything else when you were held under there? What do you mean, what did I want? He said, what did you want more than anything else while I held you under there? He said, I wanted air, I wanted air. He says, when you want God as much as you want air, then you'll find God. Gentlemen, do we want God's will more than we want our next breath? Whatever his will be. When Mary said to God, fiat, God became a man because of one woman's yes. But God still becomes incarnate, if you will, not physically, but spiritually, when we say yes to God. When Eve said no to God, she brought death to herself, death to her family, death to the world. Fathers, when we say no to God's will, we bring death to ourselves, death to our parishes, death to the world. We have that power, as Eve had that power and Mary had that power. When we say no to God's will, we always bring death. But when we say yes to God's will, we bring life to ourselves, life to our parishes, and life to the world. Again, God can see all things. And sometimes that's what happens when we fully surrender ourselves to this God who loves us more than we love ourselves, who can see tomorrow we cannot. Then we can learn this trust, and by definition, this trust brings peace because of him who loved me. Now again, it's a story you told, I'm sure, again, the reality of a little boy who doesn't like to get shots. He hates shots, and he gets pneumonia, and his father takes him in to the doctor, and the kid's crying to his dad, Daddy, please, don't you let him hurt me. Don't you let him give me a shot, Daddy. Come on, Daddy, you know I trust you. You know I love you, Daddy. Don't you let that doctor hurt me. And the doctor says, I'm sorry, he has pneumonia. He needs a shot. And the boy looks at him, Dad, don't you dare let him hurt me, Daddy. And the father holds the boy while the doctor gives him a shot. And then the boy looks at him and says, I trusted you. I loved you. And you let that doctor give me a shot. How can you say you're my dad and you love me if you let that doctor give me a shot? Often, God is the Father who holds us while we're getting our shot. And we don't like it when it happens. We don't like the pain. We don't like the struggle. We don't like all that it entails. But the Father knows, and his plan is ultimately to always give us life, always to bring us to good. But again, it's like I talked about last time, there's no way to do that except through the cross. It just can't happen. And so when we're saying yes, you know, and I once gave a talk to 300 men down in Mobile, Alabama, and it was 6:30 in the morning, and I was doing a Legatus there, and so he asked if I'd talk to the men the next day, and I had done a men's conference down there, but they all come 6:30 in the morning, there's these 300 men in this church, and I talked about the need for us to surrender our will to the will of God if we're going to truly be men. And so one of the guys raised his hand and said, "Father, how come we never hear about we have to surrender ourselves?" I have no idea why you don't hear about it, but it's the core of the spiritual life. Even when I talk about surrendering to the Holy Spirit, that's part of what it is. It's that surrender, surrendering my will. The key to having peace and experiencing the peace God gives us is when we decide to live his will every day, not ours. But again, if we're in control of things, think about it. It's the greatest lie there is. We can't even control our next breath, right? But we go around thinking we're in control of a lot of things. Like, I hate to fly. I fly, I'm a platinum flyer on Delta. And after I was just reading it, we were talking earlier, you know, there is the bishop in Germany who just got, the Pope pulled him out of his diocese. Pulled him out because he was building a $32 million rectory for the bishop. Huh? And so the Holy Father pulled him out. Well, if this starts happening, a lot of changes are going to start happening really fast throughout the world when the Holy Father does this. But one of the things the priests were complaining about is that he went to India to look at the poor, and he got upgraded. He was in first class. He flew to India in first class. Now, almost every time I get on a plane, I'm almost always upgraded to first class. And I thought, oh dear, well, that's going to have to stop, I guess, now. I don't know what I'm going to do. But the reality is it does give a bad message. In some ways, they go up, and once I was going to speak with Father Mitch and Father Benedict Rochelle, we were going to Colorado Springs, and I'm getting in line down in Atlanta, and a couple behind me sits there and says, "Hey, Father, who's coming in?" And I said, "They're letting the handicapped in for it." And he says, "Are you in first class?" I said, "Yeah, well, I got upgraded." "Oh, that's it. I'll never give another dime to the church." And he's screaming and yelling and carrying on. And I'm like getting madder and madder. And I thought, keep your mouth shut, keep your mouth shut. Because again, I told you earlier, I have a problem with anger. I spent 2 years in anger management classes. I'm much better, thank you very much. But the reality is that I was just boo, 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 going crazy. And it was right after Karapi left, and I thought, someone will have a video camera here, and I'll be dead. It'll be all over. I'll be on YouTube. Forget it. Just keep your mouth shut, da-da-da. But, again, when we say, I'm going to surrender my life to God, we're afraid because we won't be in control. That's why I hate to fly. If I was the pilot, like Father, I could handle it. I'm in control. That lie. Huh? Here we are. And so to hate to surrender, because then I have to hand over control of my life. And again, I think priests love to be in control of their lives. That's why they love when they become pastors or when a person becomes bishop. Now I'm truly in control. That's a lie. We can't even take our next breath. Think about it. God could sit there and say right now, bam, okay, that's it. I'm taking you home. You think you're in charge? You're not even in charge of your next breath. And so it's the lie that we buy into and we think we're in control of anything. And it's a lie of Satan. That when we sit there and think this is my parish, my diocese, my whatever, it's about God's will. And so every day I must learn to fully surrender. I used to have one of those, you know, they used to make those posters in the 60s and 70s and that, and you had posters everywhere. And one of the posters, my favorite poster, was always in the bottom of my mirror. And it said, "Sometimes I think I have fully surrendered, and then he asks me for something I'm not willing to give up." Sometimes I think I have fully surrendered, and then he asks me for something I'm not willing to give up. What's that mean? To be people who are poor in spirit, to be people who have surrendered our lives to God. The best way I can explain that, fathers, is that we have our hands open like this. We let God give what he wants, and we let God take what he wants. And either way, we say, so be it. Here I am, God. And again, there's that false reality sometimes that, oh, I'm just going to, you know, always choose the longest play. You know, there's a false humility out there, too, that people try to outdo themselves and being humble. I don't buy it at all. God's will. Let him take what he wants and don't complain when he takes it. Let him give what he wants and don't complain and say you're unworthy when he gives it. His will, hands out. Huh? And again, that's not an easy way to live life, but it got to be the way of the priesthood. It got to be the way of us. That every day we seek his will. Again, years ago, I'm an assistant, and you would hate having me as an assistant as your parish. You know, like a lot of the people say, they hate having me as a pastor, too. But anyway, when I was an assistant, I was doing my holy hour in the morning. And as I was doing my holy hour, the Lord really, it was January 6th, and it was snowing outside, and I'm there. And the Lord just kept putting in my heart, I want you to go up to St. Joseph's Oratory, which is about a seven-hour drive from my parish in Erie. And it was a first Friday. And I says, no, God, it's first Friday. I can't. I have things to do today. I have to go to the parish and da-da-da. And he just kept putting it on me. I want you to go up there today. No, God. So I said, well, I'm going to ask the pastor. He's going to tell me I can't. So I had the early mass, 7 o'clock. And I says, afterwards, I said, Monsignor, I'm sorry. But, you know, in my prayer this morning, I just kept thinking I have to go up to St. Joseph's Oratory. Now, I just sat there and says, well, think again. You're the assistant. You're going to be here. He says, go do it. Okay. So I threw snow and everything else. I got up to St. Joseph's Oratory. There was mass there. I made a great confession. I needed to go to confession, part of it too. But I could be there. It's the feast of Brother Andre. I have great devotion to Brother Andre, who's now St. Andre. And I got the oil, which I used for the things, and I came back the next day. But that morning, it had nothing to do about me. It wasn't even in my least thing had me to do with going and going to Montreal that day. Again, something when it comes to my will. And there I'm a newly ordained priest, and the Iraqi war started. Remember the first one? When I was 1990 or whatever, 89 it had been, 90 when I was ordained in 89. And I really felt that I was supposed to go and be a Marine and be a chaplain in the Marines. Well, you'd have to join the Navy to do that. But anyway, so I called the bishop and I said, Bishop, can I go become a Marine chaplain? And the bishop said, yes. I said, oh, great, okay, because, you know, it's my style. I'm not a la-la type person. Let's go in and do this stuff. And I've done a lot for military places, different places. I thought this will be ideal for me. So as I'm getting filled out, getting ready to go through the paperwork, I met with the head chaplain who came over. I thought, you know, I didn't talk to my spiritual director. I better talk to my spiritual director. So anyway, I called Pete, and I says, hey, Pete, I'm going to the service. I'm going to be a Marine chaplain. And the bishop said, okay. And he started yelling at me, absolutely not. Huh? I said, what do you mean, absolutely not? He said, I'm your spiritual director. That is not God's will for you. Well, the bishop said I could go. I don't care what the bishop said. I'm your director. I said no. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? He said, you call the bishop and tell the bishop your spiritual director said no. Pick up the phone. Bishop, my spiritual director said no. Okay, Larry, hang up. I was so mad at my director. Like, really? Really? But if I'd have went to the Marines, I wouldn't be doing all the things I do now. I wouldn't have been in the middle of 4 books. I wouldn't be going over. I wouldn't have all these CDs out or books. I wouldn't have any of it. If I'd have done my will, which I thought was the best will ever, I'd have been doing something apart from the will of God. Would it have been a sin for me to go in and to be a chaplain in a service? No. It looked like a good thing. But to obey, you know, this is one of the hardest things. To have a spiritual director, hopefully, first, and to obey your director is to obey God. That's why you watch who you pick as your spiritual director. And again, when people sit there and say, who should I get? I say, watch how the priest says Mass. If he just goes through the motions real fast and da-da-da, body of Christ, run. But if the priest has enough discernment to know in his hands he holds the God of the universe, then run to him. Because you can't help anyone discern anything else if you're not realizing every day you hold the God of the universe in your hands. And you just humble yourself before that God who's here before us. So, to get a director, first of all, help you have peace. And when you get the director, because again, you all know what St. Philip Neri said, right? Those who have themselves for a spiritual director have a fool for a spiritual director. So I wonder how many fools are here. But the reality is, we got to put ourselves under the will of somebody else. I do it. It's hard enough for the bishop. But the bishop doesn't see things that you do every day, does he? You know, he just sees you in general, and he can pull your life for different things. But to put yourselves under a director is a hard thing. Like right now, I don't have a director because my director died 4 months ago, and I'm praying really hard for a director, because if not, I start making God's will my will. Or it's the other way around. I start making my will God's will. Oh, this is what God wants me to do. Really? I think so. We need to make sure that that's brunched off someone. And it has to be a director who loves us and who's a person of prayer. This man, Father Pete, spent so much time in prayer. It was unbelievable. He was always in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Always. If he wasn't working with the poor. This guy, I'll talk about him a little bit tomorrow. We have two more talks after this tomorrow, right? One will be a priest is the icon of love, and a priest is an icon of holiness. And so one of the things about Monsignor Peterson, when he was a pastor, is he used to have a rectory, and there would be street people living in the rectory. There was never, ever, the doors were never locked. I'd walk in there, and it'd be at least 15 people. In his room, he had his bed up against the wall, two other beds in there, and a mattress on the floor, all street people. A lot of people can talk about working with the poor. He lived with the poor. And he was always happy. I never, ever saw Pete sad. He was always smiling from ear to ear. I thought, you're a nutcase. You know, you're always working with the poor. The guy, and I lived with him for a year and all these things, and nobody would ever get him done. And I just thought, this is what it is to be a man of holiness. But he was also very real. But every time I'd ever talk about him with anything, Larry, is this God's will or is this your will? When we say the Lord's Prayer, you know, every day we say it, as we talked about the other day, your will be done, we say, Almighty God. He says, okay, would you shut up for a second so I can tell you what my will is? No. You mean I have to listen while I'm saying your will be done? Yeah, you say it real fast every day, boom, 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 boom. And then I want to tell you what my will is, and you won't shut up so I can tell you. Huh? That's what drives me crazy when people do all this talking during prayer. When is God going to say something to you? When are you going to hear him when you never shut up long enough? I need to make sure that when I say your will be done, I stop so I can let him tell me what his will is. Or why say the prayer? When Mary said, fiat, let it be done to me, life came into the world. Jesus, he gives us the example of prayer when he teaches us the Lord's Prayer, of course. And then when he lives it, and at the Last Supper, he comes before the Father and he says, thy will be done. Now think, and again, gentlemen, this is where reality enters in. Some people like to theologize that whole thing. You know, like once I gave my passion talk and this guy came to me and he says, you know, in the city of God, not the one Augustine wrote, this other, the spiritual city of God, whatever, this seer goes and says that Jesus or Mary never suffered any pain at all because God would never let them do that. And so when Jesus was on the cross, he felt no pain. And I said, you're a nutcase, you know, really? Oh, yes, it's true, Father. So I don't know where you get your talk, but you should change it because Jesus felt no pain. Okay. When Jesus was looking at the Father and the Father was pointing to him the cross, he said, I don't want to do this, but your will be done. Gentlemen, we can struggle with the will of the Father. I do a lot, but I always surrender. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. But ultimately knowing that he's going to be the best. About March this past year, I came back and I was in a busy stuff, and I was having problems breathing. And so I have a doctor who's a lung doctor, and he said to me, I says, Doc, can I have pneumonia without being sick? He goes, no, you could have bronchitis or something, but I'll come into the rec. I'll come see you tomorrow and we'll check you out. And so he came in, saw me at my office, and he says, well, you sound good, Father. Let's just get an x-ray. Huh? Come on over to the office and we'll get an x-ray. So I went over to the office and he says, hmm. He said, what's hmm? He says, Father, there's a mass on your lung about this big. And then he took me in the room and showed it. I go, well, is that good? He goes, no, that's not good. And he says, but it could be something on the x-ray, so let's go and wait 5 weeks and we'll get another x-ray, okay? Well, I was in the middle of it, it was Lent, and I was on the road. So 8 weeks later, he grabbed me and he says, Father, you haven't come in to get that x-ray. I says, okay, okay. He says, come in tomorrow. Okay. So I went in the next day for an x-ray. When I went in for the x-ray, there was the mass, it was like this big, was now this big in 8 weeks. And he goes, oh, Father. I go, no, Father, nothing. What? He goes, doesn't look good. Okay. So he says, we're going to have to go and let's get whatever they put that stuff in your fitness machine. And he says, so I went and I says, okay. So I thought for sure, okay, I got lung cancer. I never smoked, but okay, however, that'd be the thing. And I was going to find out on my birthday whether I had cancer or not. And so I knelt before Our Lady and I says, boy, I don't like this. And it isn't the part of dying. I mean, we're all going to die. I mean, it isn't that. It was the way of dying. Through lung cancer is a horrible way to die. There's a lot of suffering. And so I sat there and I went out before Our Lady and I says, okay, if this is what the Father wants, okay. But I says, Lady, I know you can do anything. And I have a great devotion to our mother, of course. And there's a great book out by Monsignor Leo Mossberg. I wrote one of the reviews of it for the back of Ignatius Press book. But Monsignor Leo Mossberg has a thing called Mother Teresa. He spent a lot of time with Mother Teresa, and it's a phenomenal book. Like, one of the things Mother Teresa says is he was listening to her speak one day, and as he was listening to her, she said to the nuns and him, you know the one thing I've never had to confess? What's that, Mother? I've never had to confess that I ever judged anyone. There's no hope for me. And so she sat there and they says, oh, come on, Mother, you never had to confess that you ever judged anybody. And she says, no. And Monsignor says, well, why is that, Mother? And she says, because if I judged them, I couldn't love them. Oh, shut up. It's like, really? I said, But one of the things she also used to do is she'd be walking and someone would tell her no something and she'd stop, boom. And she would do what we call a mini novena. And her mini novena was 10 memorares. You know the memorare, remember, was Grace Virgin Mary, never was it known. And she'd do 9 for a petition and 1 in thanksgiving for answering the prayer. And she would always should stop, boom, and always it would work. And so I went before, and I've done it lots, and it's worked many, 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 almost every, I think every time I've said it, literally before God. And so I knelt down before Our Lady in our church. I have a beautiful church. It's all hand-carved, back altars, side altars, an old German parish. And I knelt before Our Lady and I says, Mary, if you want to take me home, okay, I'm ready. But I'd rather you're not, but it's okay. I don't want to go this way. And so I said the memorare, the novena, and I said to the 10 memorares. And then I says, I know that what could happen is the doctor can call me and say, Father, there's nothing there. You can do anything. And so an hour later, I got down on my prayer and I walked over and the doctor called me and he says, Father, 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 I don't know what to tell you, but guess what? There's nothing there, Father. There's nothing there. And I had 3 other doctors come over, Father. He said, Father, this is a miracle. I'm telling you, Father, there was something there. You saw it grew. It doubled inside. There's nothing there. I go, praise God. And he goes, no, Father, I don't think you understand. There was something there and it's gone. And when I was sitting there struggling with this, it was a struggle. But I really said, Lord, if you want to call me home, okay. If you want to keep me here, okay. That when you and I come to the trust in God, that whatever happens, to have peace is when we finally surrender it to Him. I want your will in my life, Lord, more than I want my next breath. It's not easy, but once we surrender, then He always brings us to life. Even if He was to call me home. What's that? You do realize, gentlemen, the greatest healing is death, right? When I do a healing service and I talk to them about it, and I say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest healing is death. They look at me and say, I don't want that one today, Father. Don't pray for that one for me. You know, I don't want that one. But it's the truth, is it not? If heaven is everything we say it is, who's the one most blessed? The one that dies at 2 or the one that dies at 92? It's the one who dies at 2, but we don't see things this way. This world is not our home, is what scriptures are very clear about. Our home is in heaven. And we're all hopefully, and the opening line of the surrender thing is, God wants you in heaven. You don't have to be afraid of your Father. He wants you forever in heaven. And He does everything in His power as God to save you. So when you surrender to His will, you surrender to Him wanting you to be in heaven forever. So surrender. Made you know his love today and forever. Amen. Okay, tomorrow the first talk will be the icon of love, and then the afternoon talk will be the icon of holiness. God bless you.